Dearest brethren, God bless you. I am Dora, and I will translate a life message on RadioBlast.net from Brother Joseph, from Italian into English. God bless you. It's a beautiful message from the Lord for all of you. So let's go to the message which we want to share with the brethren today, says Angela. It's concerning the church and how can we act so we can be more fruitful for Jesus, especially now in this end time. This message that you got, Brother Joseph, was inspired by the movie Saint Barbara. You, Brother Joseph, saw this movie on the life of Saint Barbara, and it inspired this message for the brethren. It's a very deep movie. We counsel you to watch it. And it's concerning the persecutions and how to stay faithful to the end, even through the persecutions. Praise the Lord, says Brother Joseph. God bless you all, dear brethren. It's a beautiful message on this movie. It's about faith and unity. This message, I called it The Message of Saint Barbara. It's a beautiful historical movie. Christian. Vanessa Hessler acted, and Rai Uno produced it. God bless Rai Uno. It's a wonderful message about faith. It was a true story of Barbara. She was a Roman girl, young, beautiful, of a high position and very rich. Together with her slave, she gives her life for the Lord. The slave evangelized Barbara. Barbara got converted. And together they gave their life for the Lord, not to deny the new faith which they found in Christ. She didn't want to give incense, offer incense to the emperor, and she died for her faith. Barbara saw her slave giving her life to Christ, and like that she got converted. And I was thinking about this movie. Barbara showed her faith in God by abandoning everything, forsaking all her position, her riches, and in the end, even her life. And like that, she showed her love for God and her faith. How horrible it would be in front of God if we wouldn't be willing ourselves as well to do the sacrifices for our faith. Daily, though, daily. If we're not willing daily to die for Christ, how terrible this would be in front of God. How can we grow in our faith? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove you your own selves. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Paul was talking to the Corinthians here, and he told them, examine yourselves. Examine if you're in the faith, if Christ is in you. Let's be careful. Whatever church we belong to, let's examine ourselves. Is Christ in us? Are we really believers? Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 11:31. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God is not judging us if we judge ourselves, if we correct ourselves with the word. So I was wondering and meditating on this, and I was thinking, Lord, how can we grow in our faith? How can we grow in faith? What are we missing? How can we not fall into the lukewarmness which the evil one tries always to make us fall into? And I felt from the part of the Lord his answer: unity, obedience to the word, and respect towards the authority of God. I felt this is the answer from the Lord. The true church of Christ is all over the world, the true bride of Christ. Many communities inside the body of Christ. We are part of it by God's grace. The Lord wants to tell us that these are the things which will help our church, our community, to grow and to be more and more like Jesus. I repeat, unity, obedience to the word, and respect to the authority of God. Getting away from familiarity. A brother comes, and talks to us. And in that moment, the Lord speaks to us through that brother, but we reject it because we are familiar. Who are you? John 7:5, the brothers of Jesus did not believe in him. The brothers of Joseph rejected him. Let's be careful not to reject the authority of God when he speaks to us through a brother. The absolute authority of God and of his word towards his servants, through which God guides his church, it's completely, totally against the devil, against the deceit that the devil put in the world. And the devil's deceit, it's called democracy, equality, rights everywhere, liberty for the women, for the homosexuals, emancipation, rights and rights and rights. Yes, they are needed, these things. But not all these things are needed and are good, but they are used by the devil for his purposes. His agents, the devil's agents, like Marx, Lenin, Hitler, Stalin, and selfish politicians of today, they are using this truth, this good truth of freedom and rights and whatnot, uses this truth to deceive the masses and to make them slaves, as we can see today. One of the most, one of the biggest deceits in the world today is democracy. And when this comes into the church, it's even worse. And you come and say to to the Lord, you come and say, I have the right today not to evangelize. I have the right, I have the right. In men's world, they talk about these things all the time, their own rights. But they talk about their rights, but they don't talk about their duties. The gospel is different than what the world tells us. In the gospel, first comes our duty and our love and our doing extra and giving the other cheek. When do we get our rights? Well, we have to trust God. We will have to trust God that they will come together with the blessings of God. Trust that you're right, God will take care of. The politicians today never keeps their word. They tell you that you're going to have rights, but they don't give you any rights. Instead of the promises, which the politicians promise, the wars are coming from them. They make wars with excuse of trying to go around and spread democracy and rights. But they make wars in the name of these good things. God doesn't want us to call these things rights. He wants us to call these things blessings in Christ. Jesus never asked for his rights. Jesus based his life on his love. He based his life on the love of the Father. Glory to his name. God speaks to us of what's happening today in this false idol that the world adores today. One of the worst idols that the world adores today, it's called democracy. This is a bite that the devil puts on his fishing pole, and with that he guides the world. And he makes the people believe that they have rights and they are free. Lies. The nation who trumpets the biggest democracy is America, United States, but in reality they are a dictatorship. They are a dictatorship, and they want to throw even the little democracy that they have left. But in the kingdom of God there is no democracy. The things don't work inside the kingdom of God in base of our rights. In the kingdom of God reigns the so-called dictatorship of love. Dictatorship in the world is a bad connotation. The father who corrects his son for playing with the fire is like a dictator, but he's a good dictator. He's a good dictator because he's trying to teach his son what not to do. So in the kingdom of God, love needs to reign. in the secular world, even the people who receive more rights, they are still empty in their hearts. They are depressed. They are sad. They are dead in the spirit, as it is written. Let's read Jude 1, 12 through 16. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, boy, twice dead, it says. They are dead in the flesh and the spirit because they are not born again. 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. After their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, the devil infiltrated the churches with this idea of the rights. Everybody in the churches talks about rights, rights. My right, my right. You know, today, democracy is becoming a demonocracy, controlled by demons. The churches are full of sheep, but they are guided by possessed leaders. There are people on top who have a bunch of money, and they buy the media, and they buy the politicians, and then they puppeteer them, and like through them, they puppeteer the masses. About the democracy, I want to tell you the following thing. Do you know that a ship cannot go across the ocean just by rights and democracy? There is a captain. There is a captain who guides the ship with authority. In an army, you cannot win a war just with democratic votes. How to fight, how not to fight. A general has to give orders in a school as well. The students cannot always vote how to do things, how to organize their exams and what to have at their exams. There has to be a director in a school. And the true church of the Bible is not a Christian democratic party, but it's a community with a great monarch of love called God, a God of love. God never fails because his goal is love and love never fails. God is the personified truth and he's our creator and he has all the rights to give us his loving commands. And we, if we are wise, we will listen to him and we will not listen to all this democracy in the world. Let's read Revelation 4:10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Amen. This is the democracy in heaven, worshiping in front of God when it's necessary, casting your crown before the throne of God. This is the democracy, casting your crown of bishop and archbishop, and angel and archangel, and Michael and Gabriel. Everybody cast their crowns before the throne. There was one who didn't throw down his crown, and that was called Lucifer. Let's try not to be like him. You know, that crown of the husband, you're the husband, so you are the dictator, but not for the Lord, but for your rights and for your selfishness. You need to be a husband that says, my right is the cross. My right is to die for Christ and for my family. In the world of the devil, they only talk about rights, but they're not about duties. God says, do your duty, and then he will bless you. God is telling us that the democracy is not sufficient for us, for the true church of Christ. And that in the kingdom of God there is no democracy, okay? I want you to understand that I'm not talking just about our church. Our church is just a little cell in the body of Christ. Every sheep who loves Jesus is part of the body of Christ, and we're all one in Christ. Democracy in the world is not enough. The democracy doesn't exist in the kingdom of God, because the democracy of the world is missing the love of Christ. Democracy is a bunch of good words, but without love, they are just a bunch of people fighting over their rights, and they are like wolves fighting who should rule more. Jesus gave me a little prophecy. I would like to read it to you. The Lord says, "My beloved church, for whom I gave my life, all the rights that the world promises to give and they never gave, all these theories, utopias, and mirages, all of them put together, they are nothing compared to my love, my joy, my liberty, my salvation, my eternal life in my kingdom. Tell the world to come to me. Only I, Christ, can satisfy your hunger and their hunger of heavenly food, which is truth, love, and communion with me." End of message. Amen. Glory to you, Jesus. Amen. Question: what do we do when we go through crisis? Jesus was a man like us. Even he passed through his crisis and depressions. In his moments of crisis, Jesus didn't change doctrine or church. He didn't search for a religion with better benches where he could just sing and that's it. Let's see what Jesus did in his crisis. What did Jesus do in the moments when Christ fell in a crisis? What did he do? Matthew 26:39. Let's see what Jesus did. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Matthew 26:39. Jesus went through the same crisis which we pass through. Whatever crisis we went through, Jesus went through. It says that he was tempted in everything, but his love for the Father was his shield. Jesus won over the crisis. How? How? Through this: "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Matthew 26:39. When you say the way like Jesus did, "Not as you will, but as thou will, Father," at that point you have overcome all the fears and all the devils. At that moment we win. When you're ready to die for the Lord and to yourself, then you will have overcome. Brethren, God cannot change our Calvary. God cannot take away our cross. We have to change and accept it. We have to change and accept the cross we're going through. As it is written, Matthew 10:38-39, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." He who doesn't take his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. Whoever says, "I'm not called," don't say these silly things anymore. Everybody's called, okay, to follow the Lord and carry the cross. There is not one that's not called to be a disciple. There are those who are not worthy, but there is not one that's not called. It's written here: "He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me." Don't come and tell me I'm not called to be a disciple, to evangelize. What do you mean you're not called? That means you're not saved if you're not called. You're a false Christian. Let's take our cross, okay? There is one for everybody.
Triste per quelli che non lo faranno.
It's sad for those who will not do it. Those who don't do this, they'll go in the devil's bag. And they will go into the way which is apparently easy. That's what the world chooses. And even many churches choose that way as well. The denomination of Sardis chooses that also. Revelation 3:1. These churches always choose the easy way because they are say that God loves, because they say God loves us, wants us full of money and to have an easy life. That's the denomination of Sardis. Revelation 3:1. Let's read it. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing says he has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that you have a name that you live but are dead. Who are the denominations of Sardis today? Are those who have this applied to them. If this feeds you, that you don't have any fruits, then you are Sardis. It doesn't matter what name they have in the flesh. It's important what name God gives them. We have to drink our cup, okay? We have to climb our Calvary. It's our turn now. We have to get crucified and to let our blood fall. And we cannot ask God to change things. God, I'm in a crisis right now. My father left, my husband left. Oh, change my situation. And God tells you, I cannot change your situation, but you can change. You can change. It's just like Jesus, who in the Gethsemane, he could have said, well, I try to evangelize this and that, and try to evangelize the pilot. I try to evangelize the Roman legions. They don't listen to me. They're a bunch of goats. Father, where have you sent me? If I continue like this, they will crucify me. Even a disciple of mine, Judas, he's complaining about me. My disciples complain about me. Where did you send me, God? Are we like this? Are we people that complain? The brothers of Jesus didn't believe in him. Oh, God, even my family doesn't believe me. Nothing. Go on, go on, go on. Straightforward. When the world is against you, go on for God even when all are against you. Your family, your friends, knife in the back. Go straight ahead. Don't stop. Jesus went forward. But if I go forward, they will crucify me. Probably. Probably. But don't worry. Even in death, you will win. And not just Jesus won, but even the disciples won through death, and Saint Barbara won through death, and Santa Angela, and Saint Brother Joseph, and Saint Dora. All of us were saints, called to do like Saint Barbara did, who was cut off the head for Christ. We will win, even if through death. The Martha doesn't try to save his life. His heart is joyful. Through tears, he desires to die for Christ, even though his flesh doesn't want, his heart wants. Praise the Lord. Let's learn from these martyrs, okay? Like Saint Barbara and others. Even if you cry through your crisis, cry. Go ahead and cry, but don't give in. The Holy Spirit will be there. He'll be there and he'll take you by hand and he'll tell you, I'll be with you even through death. A message from the Lord, another message from the Lord. Quotes. The Lord says, my beloved ones, my church today would not exist without the martyrs, without their blood, without the Calvary and without the crucifixion. And that's not because I will it or my Father wills it, but because of the rebellious world and the sins of the world. It's written, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. I paid for your sins. Now you don't need to pay for your sins, but there are still sins not paid for, and those are the sins of the world. those who reject me. Me on the cross, I was willing to take even their sins, but the world does not know it, and they don't want it. And therefore you, my body, have to put up and to suffer for these sins, for the sins of the world who doesn't want to repent. You, like my beloved brat Barbara, Saint Barbara, also you are called to offer yourself as a perfume unto me. The world will hate you. Your unbelieving family will despise you, just like my brothers on the earth, my flesh brothers, they despised me, as it is written. But you have to go on straight ahead, carrying my cross, as it is written, Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. For you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Amen. Tertulliano said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The false prophets of today, they are mingling with the world instead of giving the truth to the world. They are submitting to the world in their Islam, in their homosexuality, and they're becoming one with them. They favor these things of the devil. They favor the abortions and so many other things. If the martyrs would have done the same, there would not be any Christianity today. There would be just the Islam and abortions and homosexuality. But the martyrs didn't do that. We are not here to please the world. Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are here to reprove the unfruitful works of righteousness, okay? We are here to reprove that unfruitful works of the of unrighteousness. How do we apply all these things to us? Well, I want to tell you that the true strength is in your obedience to God, listening to God and obeying Him, and working in counsel and in unity with the brethren, those brethren who are true brethren. The disobedience was the fall of all Israel. Because of disobedience, Israel fell into idolatry. More or less like many churches of today, who without the compass of the Holy Spirit, they have no idea where they're going. The churches today don't know where they're going because they don't have the compass of the Holy Spirit, prophetic compass of the Holy Spirit. These ships of today, boats of today, of the churches, go around without any compass. They say, oh, well, I don't like this boat. I'm going to change boat because I don't like the sermon. Well, if what the pastor says it's in the Bible, you better change. If what the pastor says it's not in the Bible, then you can change the boat. But if what the pastor tells you it's in the Word, then stay there. Don't change church. Stay there. If you have a good church, stay there. If it's not good, then change. What did God tell Israel who got off the tracks? Let's read. Deuteronomy 12:8, you shall not do after all the things that we did here this day, where every man whatsoever is right in his eyes does. Deuteronomy 12:8. Judges 17:6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So everybody did whatever he thought right in his own eyes. In the day of Judges, they didn't want to put in practice the law. They did whatever was right in their own eyes. I don't like what they do in this church. I'm going to go to the other church. I don't like the Pentecostals. I'm going to become Catholic. I don't like Catholicism. I'm going to go over there to the other church. But decide, where do you belong? Are you a Baptist? Be a good Baptist.
Insomma, scegliti la chiesa e mettici il cuore.
Choose your church and put your heart. Choose your cross and be willing to die there, okay? Choose your cross and try to die there. Be ready to die there. Let's talk about our brethren in our community, in our church. There is not enough unity between us. Unity in the Spirit. The Lord says the following: my sons, because of fears, selfishness, and pride, they choose to trust in the world, and they choose to be in spiritual disunity. And I cannot protect them in this kind of situations. Put your heart wherever you are. Because if you trust in the world, you will be without defense in the persecutions that are coming. And soon you will be one of the first victims in the tribulation that's coming. The devil is coming to sow his evilness in my flock. And the foolish sheep, they trust in the protection of the world, and they trust in their rights instead of following me. And if they do that, they will be victims of what's coming. The disunity in my true church is sown by the enemy. My beloved, remain united. The secular churches recognized by the governments are not my true church, my true communities, even though I have many confused sheep in these secular churches. My true church is my bride, spread everywhere, and it's always persecuted, as I said it would be. Behold, I'm going to put true shepherds over you. The true shepherds which I will give you, you will recognize them by their fruits. They are pastors who will search me and my guidance. Love them, respect them, and respect the anointing which they have, which is my Holy Spirit. They will guide you to clean waters and not to polluted waters of the false doctrines of the mercenary pastors who will let you be sold to the devil. My true pastors trust me, and I put on them the seal of my Holy Spirit. And I tell you, the evil one cannot touch you. Yes, they could kill your body, but they will not touch your spirit. They will not touch your blessings. They will not touch your salvation. They will not be able to take away your reward. As it is written, Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. The Lord says, I will allow the persecutions and the destructions on the hand of the Antichrist, who's coming. He's coming worse than before. And it will be as the time when I punished Israel for his sins. But I will protect my bride, who filled their lamps with the oil of their faithfulness to me. And I will put my mark on the forehead of all those who are breathing for me. It will come to pass that I will judge my spiritual Israel, my church, my disobedient church, like I punished my Israel of old. Ezekiel 9:3-9, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, Go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly all the young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, Defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth, and they went forth, and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, and I fell upon my face, and cried, and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they said, The Lord forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth it not. This will happen again. Ezekiel 9:3-9. This will come again. This, that the land is full of blood. It's the blood of all the sheep whom the church doesn't evangelize. The world is getting full of Muslims and nobody evangelizes them. So the blood of the sheep is in the hands of the Christians who don't want to obey Ezekiel 3:17. The destruction of the worldwide church is coming through the Antichrist. It's prophesied. Daniel 7:21, I beheld and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Revelation 13:7 is prophesied also. And he was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is coming, and it's coming soon. Jesus is saying that the evil one will send you even false brethren who are driven by their selfishness and by their pride. Watch out for them, as it is written, Daniel 11:31, Matthew 24:15-21. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then shall be great tribulation. Daniel 11:31, read please, and Matthew 24:15-21. Shall be great tribulation as has never been, neither shall be. Matthew 24:9-10. You will be hated by all in my name, and many shall betray each other. Matthew 24:9-10. Daniel 11:34. And when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy at our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians 2:4. Jesus is telling us the following, that one of the greatest problems, the more and more we enter into the end time, will be the false brethren, the half-a-heart brethren, the Judah brethren, those who flatter you. Be careful at false brethren. Jesus is continuing with the message, brethren, stay in unity around me, around my world, and around my Holy Spirit, because there will be, because in that will be your protection. Unity around me, my world, my word, and my Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I prayed for this. I prayed for your unity. John 17:21-24, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17:21-24. Praise the Lord. The Lord is trying to tell us the following. We have to grow in unity, brethren. This spirit of the world, these democratical churches, where the people always talk about rights, they treat each other like a piece of garbage. They insult each other. There is no respect. They are insulting the Lord. And they are not respecting the Lord. Let's be careful. In a true church, there's the presence of God. Jesus wants respect, not despising. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love you, Lord. This is the end of the message of Jesus. This is the prophecy, the end of the prophecy. But I will continue with the message which the Lord gave me. I will continue with the message. How does our community work and the worldwide Church of Christ? We are sure that we couldn't fulfill 1% of what we're doing if we wouldn't initially decide it individually and then together to submit from all our hearts to God and to the authority of His Word. To be able to do this, we had to separate ourselves from the traditional churches, those who operate with the blessing of their idols. Today, the churches are operating with the blessing of their idols. Who are their idols? That they stick state and the government. They don't have God's blessing. They're always searching for the approval of the world instead of God. Many true Christians from all the eras, including today, they gave their life for the gospel. Entire communities were thrown into the Colosseum to die. Martyrs died through the centuries. A true community of God has to be at least united enough to give their life one for another and to be sure that they die in the will of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. When the time will come for that. There are innumerable religions and churches in the world, like a market. Everybody can choose a church according to their taste. I want to tell you, pray before you say, I belong to this and I belong to that. The time is coming to give our lives for each other, okay? For Christ and for your brother and for your sister and for the children around you. Once you put your hands to the plow, once you put your hand on that plow and you carry to that cross, then you need to be with your whole heart. God is expecting you to be there with all your heart without thinking back like Judas did. If we are not sure that that's your church and your community and it's God's will, then you better go in a desert place away from the world and ask God to speak to you. Ask God to speak to you. Go away. Go away to God to speak to you. Ask Him to guide you. Ask Him to guide you. Ask Him to be at the helm of your life and to guide you. Don't let the tensions and the tears around you to guide you. Let the Lord guide you. Find God's will. I cooperated with many people, with believers and different denominations, good and bad. Some were good, some were worse. Others were looking good, but they were bad. Others were looking bad, but they were true brethren inside. In any case, it doesn't matter to me anymore. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't want to judge anybody that worked with me. I want to bless them and to keep going for Jesus. I am not the judge. God is the judge of every church. I want to say this. Let's go on for God, okay? Without pointing fingers. Unity is the base of a true church, okay? And without the unity, there is no church. Question for us. Are we willing to die one for another? Maybe no. Then let's stop. If we are not willing to die one for another, then let's look to Jesus and ask him to help us grow in Jesus. I want to look in the Bible at an argument between the apostles. There was an argument between the apostles. Let's read it. Acts 15, 36 through 41. And some days after, the Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Acts 15. The lesson here is not so much who was right and who was wrong, Paul or Barnabas. But the great mistake was to put at stake the unity in Christ. They were a wonderful team, Paul and Barnabas, until Barnabas refused to follow in humility the talent of Paul. Paul was clearly the guide of God for their team. Probably Barnabas put his shield down and he had an attack of pride. And he didn't follow Paul. He didn't follow Paul and the anointing which he had. And sadly, after this argument, Barnabas, you don't hear about him anymore in the book of in the Acts, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Maybe Paul was wrong, but as every captain of the ship, he remains the captain, okay? He remains the captain. Paul continues, he keeps writing the books of the Bible, but Barnabas disappears from the Bible. Barnabas was a great apostle, but he was called by God to submit to Paul's guidance and to listen in humility. He didn't do that and he lost his crown. A guide from God sometimes can be wrong. Only the silly popes, they say they are infallibles. They think they are incarnated divinity, but it's not like that. Everybody makes mistakes. You can see in the Bible that there's never been an infallible guide from God in the Bible. Look at Peter and of David with Bathsheba. But as long as God keeps him as a leader, God expects the sheep to follow and to listen to him as unto the Lord. Paul, yes, should have been more merciful and should have let Mark to stay. This probably was the mistake of Paul. But here, the true church shows unity and overcomes the crisis and doesn't divide. How many times it looked in the eyes of the disciples that Jesus might have been wrong? He was speaking in parables sometime. He was saying, eat my flesh. And the disciples did not understand even that. But they followed, even if their mind didn't understand. How many of us in our churches we would have left Jesus if we would have heard such a sermon like the apostles did? But they didn't leave. They continued following. The true sheep of God doesn't follow the pastor because he's perfect. No, he follows because he understood that that's God's will and that he's a pastor from God. Nobody is infallible. We are all being wrong once in a while. Okay? The pastor needs to forgive his sheep, and the sheep needs to forgive the pastor when he makes mistakes. Barbara didn't follow this, and his mission with Paul broke up, and he gets out of the book of Acts. Even if Paul was wrong, and he probably was wrong, Barnabas shouldn't have abandoned him. And in his heart, Barnabas shouldn't have condemned him, neither accused him. He should have stayed in unity. 1 Timothy 4:19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity, or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. The true saved Christian is the one who wants to be like Jesus. Okay? He, the true disciple, doesn't care about his rights. He cares about God and his love for God. All our rights in this world were nailed to the cross. When Jesus was crucified, it was a dark day. They were all losing their faith to see their head, their leader, being crucified. I mean, it wasn't easy not to forsake the faith. Imagine Brother Joseph on the electric chair because the Pharisees discovered that he was a blasphemous. Imagine. I don't know. Imagine something very bad. Finally, they find me and put me in prison. What do you do then? You get on your knees and you ask God for prophecies. Judah got the shortcut out. I go to the winning side, to the Pharisees. And this horrible sect of the devil and the 11 sect of the devil, they are persecuted. There is nobody left at the cross. Only John was at the cross. John had a lot of courage to go to the cross. Everybody else took off. The true Christian wants to be like Christ. The true Christian follows by faith. The true Christian doesn't look at the accusation, doesn't look at the lies, doesn't look at the waves, doesn't look at the condemnation, but he looks to God, and God reveals to him the truth. The Christian doesn't care about his rights, but he cares about the rights of Christ and the love of God for us. The true Christian doesn't care about his own interest. He cares about the rights of Christ. The true Christian doesn't care about his own rights, but for the rights of Christ and for the love of God for us. That's what the true Christian looks for. All our rights in this world are crucified on the cross, in that day of darkness. Our rights were crucified with Christ. Matthew 27:45-46. From the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land, unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus calls on God and commits his spirit to God, and his flesh dies. Christ never died. Jesus, the Son of Mary, died, but Christ never died. The Holy Spirit never died. Okay? Jesus didn't have any rights there on the cross, okay? He only had one right on the cross, to die. These are the rights we have in this world, okay? Jesus had the following right: to be insulted, spit upon, tortured, and killed. He was like a worm, and that's the rights we have as well in this world, just like Jesus did. Psalm 22:6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. This was the rites of Christ. This is the rites Jesus received in this world. Don't listen to the unions and to the politicians. If you follow your rights, sooner or later, following all your rights, you're gonna die. You're gonna die chasing your rights. Sometimes they ask me, Brother Joseph, in South America, how much money do people make? Oh, please stay where you are. Don't come here to search for money, okay? What kind of these questions are this? You come here to sow potatoes if you need, okay? Not look for money. Wherever you go, here, there, go to serve Jesus, because it's the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Paul says, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, that you be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto glory and praise of God. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Paul says that we approve things that are excellent. Paul was a little bit the continuation of Jesus, the message of Jesus. The message of the gospel continues through Paul. If you read the epistles to the Romans, you find there a grace, amazing grace. The Romans explains the grace of Christ very clearly. If you read Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, you see the blessings, who Christ is. Ephesians, we're seated in heavenly places inside, together with Christ. We are already ruling with Christ in the Spirit. Study well Ephesians, brethren. Study well the book of Ephesians. Study the message in the book of Ephesians. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Study Ephesians 1. You're going to have a shock. Find a quiet place. Really study the book of Ephesians and you will be shocked. Ephesians 1, 2, 3. It's a not normal epistle. It's a piece of paradise, that epistle. That epistle is wonderful. Praise the Lord. The things that are excellent, Jesus reserved these things for his wonderful bride. That's the excellent things that Jesus prepared for his bride. And Jesus tells us the following. You are invited to listen to this. You are invited to be his bride, his heavenly bride. Do you hear? Do you hear his voice? Who tells you? I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to New Jerusalem. I'm inviting you to be with me. You are invited. I don't want anybody in our community to say, oh no, I married somebody, I need to go try her, I have a field, I need to go see it. Luke 14. Don't answer like this. Answer, Lord, I bought animals, but I'm not going to abandon them. I'm coming to you. Lord, I married a woman, but you are first. Lord, I have a field, but Lord, I don't care about that field. I'm coming to you. I'm ready to forsake it. I'm coming to you, Lord. This is the music that I want to hear from all of you. Shall we hear it from you, dear brethren? Yes. Jesus prepare the more excellent things for his bride. And I hope all of us are part of that. As it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. The Spirit will reveal things to you. I cannot tell you, let's go die for Jesus. I can preach it, but the Holy Spirit needs to reveal it to you. You have to feel it in your heart. I can teach the message, but all of us have to get on our knees and really know Jesus in the intimacy of our hearts, giving him our all, our hearts, our minds, our soul, our spiritual body and our carnal body, our house, the animals we bought, the field we bought, giving him everything, starting with our soul. If we don't do that, we will not understand. In Jesus' name, God cannot reveal things to us. End of message. I love you, each one of you, dear brethren. In Jesus' name, I love you. Praise God. Glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Dear brethren, write to me. Tell me your impressions about this message. I want to hear your reactions, your comments. I love you. God bless all of you in all you do. Dearest brethren, I also send you a lot of love, and I want to thank and bless all of you who want to support our mission through your tithe and offering. You can do so by clicking the donate button on the homepage of RadioBlast.net and send it through PayPal. You are a blessing. We are the hand in this mission, but you are the arm that makes the hand move, and together we are a team to win more souls for Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. Please write to us. We would love to hear from you. God bless you.